We're continuing on in our study of Parshat Ve'etchanan. Last time we gave an introduction to Ve'etchanan and honestly to the rest of Sefer Devarim, where we talked about the fact how Parshat Devarim sets up what's broken and needs to be fixed. That's why it overlaps with Shabbat Chazon. It plants the seeds of Tisha B'Av by reviewing the story of Chet HaMeraglim. We see the broken perspective of the Jewish people of B'tzinat Hashem Otanu Otzeanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'Hashmirenu B'Yada Amori, that He took us out of Mitzrayim in order, because He hates us, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates us, Lo Aleinu, in order to see us destroyed by the hands of the Amorites. And then we talked about how we then transition into the healing process, which is the rest of Sefer Devarim. That the next Shabbat is Shabbat Nachamu. We talked about how Nechama is all about changing one's perspective, seeing things differently, the whole essence of the Mishnah Torah. With Shano, to go over something again, to bring out the new perspective, to see new things, is what Moshe's repetition of the Torah is all about. And the goal is to give us a new perception, a new understanding, to restore an objective perception of reality, that God is a God of good, a God of love, who guides the world through goodness, who guides the world through love, to bring us to a land of goodness, to a land of love. And the beginning of that process starts in this Parsha, in Parshat Ve'etchanan. I struggle with how to teach this Parshiot. There's so much to say, there's so much to mine, there's so much to go through. Moshe Rabbeinu is pouring his heart out in these glorious, beautiful, incredible psukim. And there's this also constant tension between honestly just wanting to sit with you for the next few hours and just reading and translating every pasuk, because I have nothing to add. Moshe Rabbeinu said it all. And just sitting there and really engaging it on that level. And on the other hand, some of the things that are brought out in my understanding of these parshiot are some of the biggest and most important concepts in Kol HaTorah Kula. This particular shiur, we're going to be engaging one of the most important concepts of Hanagat Hashem and the way that God guides the world. It's going to be a little bit more intense. It's probably going to go a little bit longer than it usually does. And you know, we usually go overtime, so like, it's actually going to go longer. And we're going to try to tackle it together, but it's so fundamental to really understanding Hanagat Hashem, the way that God guides the world, and what it means to start shifting that perspective. One hurdle we're going to have to get over, though, in order to get there, in order to engage those psukim, the beautiful psukim of Ve'etchanan and Ekev, and these huge ideas, is the opening paragraph of the Parsha. If you read through Parshat Ve'etchanan, again, it's this long, beautiful, there's a musari quality to it. Not necessarily in a negative way, in a positive way, in a way that just lights a fire into you, that you want to get close to Hashem, that you want to get into Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, to walk in His ways. And yet this Parsha, that's so focused on all of these inyanim of Musar, opens up with the oddest paragraph, a paragraph which seems to be antithetical to everything that we just said, Shabbos Nachamu, and the whole process is about. How does Shabbos Nachamu start? How does Parshat Ve'etchanan start? Take a look inside with me. Moshe says, Ve'etchanan el Hashem ba'ita yilemor. Perek Gimel Pasuk Chav Gimel. I turned and I cried out to God at that time and I said, Hashem Elokim, God, atah hilot el harot et avdechat, God lecha bet yelcha chazaka. Hashem, you started to show your servant your greatness, your strong hand, asher mikel bashamayim uva'aretz, asher yaseh kemasecha v'chigborotecha. Who is a God in the heavens and the earth who can do like you? You can do anything. And since you can do anything, God, Ebrana, let me cross into Eretz Israel. My whole life, since you first spoke to me at the burning bush, my whole life is about getting these people out of Mitzrayim and getting them to Eretz Israel. Let me in. He's begging a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They are at Eretz Devasher, be'ever ha'yardin hazeh, and show me this good land which is on the opposite of the Jordan and the Lebanon. Vayitaber Hashem bi lema'anchem, but God got angry at me because of you. Velo shamai lai, didn't hear me. He didn't listen to me. Vayomar Hashem ilai, and God said to me, Rav lach, it's too much for you. Al tosif daber ilai od badavar hazeh, don't talk to me about this anymore. Could there be a more heartbreaking story in Kol Midrash? Moshe Rabbeinu goes his whole life, all of Torah, working to get to Eretz Yisrael. I haven't slept in days. There's like, my eyes are tearing up. It's a little bit of both. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu works his whole life to get here. And he turns to God at the end of Torah and he says, God, please just let me in. It's all I want. I just want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And as so many of us feel at times when we daven, God looks and says, no, and stop talking to me about this. Don't bother me with this. And I would claim that this is a reflection of exactly the problem of Parshat Devarim. That's how many of us would probably read this paragraph. And after we explore what Parshat Vetchanan is really about, we're going to come back to this paragraph and see that it's our broken perspective superimposed on this paragraph that's making us read it this way. Really, this is one of the most heartfelt and beautiful paragraphs of all of the Torah. So question number one is, in what way does this open up the Zayin de Nechemta? Question number two is, how does it open this Parsha? Forget the tears, right? Forget the tearing up, right? Let's move past that for a minute. Then you go into the bulk of the Parsha. Again, there's so much happening in this Parsha. And it's very difficult, I find, when you go through Vetchanan to try to tease out what's the narrative here. You know, that's one of our key terms. What's the narrative here? It's a lot of these Musri Psukim. And over the years, when I've gone through this Parsha, I found that there are two things. You could call me to task on it if you see something different. But if you work through Parshat Vetchanan, I find that there are two themes that immediately emerge as being central to the message of Parshat Vetchanan. Let's start with the first pasuk of the second paragraph. Let's leave that opening paragraph behind until around 45 minutes from now. We'll come back to it. V'ata Yisrael. Now Israel, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Shema al hachukim ve'al hamishpatim asher anochi melamed etchem la'asot. Follow the chukim and mishpatim which I am now teaching you to do. L'man tichyus that you will live ovatem v'irishem et ha'aretz, and you will inherit this land asher Hashem Elokei Avotichem notin lachem. What's the topic here? What is he talking about? Mitzvot. Chukim mishpatim, mitzvot. So much so, the next pasuk. Lo tosifu adavar asher anochi mitzaveh etchem. Don't add on to what I'm about to tell you. Lo tigru imenu, and don't reduce the number that I give you. Lishmor et mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem asher anochi mitzaveh etchem. What are we learning out from these pasukim? What a halachic principle. Bal tosif and bal tigra, you can't add, it's that halachically, you are not allowed to add or detract from the mitzvot. And as you go through the parasha, there's this constant emphasis on keeping mitzvot in general. Not a specific mitzvot, but of keeping the mitzvot. And if you trace through again, if you trace through the parasha and you go through, this theme comes up again and again and again. We're going to come back to this pasuk again a little bit later just to see one more example. If you just keep turning the pages, you will find. If you look on the page, you will find. Perek Dalet Pasuk Mem. The end of one of the next paragraphs. V'shamarta et chukav ve'et mitzvotav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom asher yitzav lach. Follow chukim mishpatim, it'll be good for you. Again and again and again, repeating it again and again and again. The other topic that I found that not only comes up in this parsha, but seems to be almost awkwardly interwoven. They just sort of weave in and out of each other throughout the entirety of the parsha, is a focus on the historical narrative, on the history of the Jewish people. For example, go to the top of the paragraph that we just started to read, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chafei. It's an incredibly powerful paragraph. Spoiler warning, I might just gush about every pasuk we read in this parsha, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway. Ki tolid banim uvnei banim venoshantem ba'aretz. Very sad, very powerful paragraph. God is promising us, God is telling us, which seems to be problematic in and of itself, that he's predicting the future, telling us what's going to happen to us. When you get into Eretz Yisrael, and you have children, and your children have children, v'noshantem ba'aretz, milashon shina, you grow tired, you grow apathetic, you're no longer doing what you're supposed to be doing in Eretz Yisrael, v'shchatem v'asitem pesel tfunat kol, and you become destructive, and you create idols, v'asitem hara b'nei Hashem Elokecha l'achiso, you do evil in the eyes of God to make him angry. Ha'idoti v'chem hayom, I am testifying against you today, says God, at the Shemayim v'et ha'aretz. Ki avoto v'edun maher me'al ha'aretz sh'ratem ovim et ha'yardin sham el yishta. I'm going to throw you out very quickly from Eretz Yisrael when that happens. Lo ta'arichun yanim aleha, you won't stay there very long. Ki shameti shamedun. God's telling us what's going to happen. What's the problem with him telling us what's going to happen? Two little words, in Hebrew or English. Free will? How is God telling us we're going to sin? I don't know. I'll have to get back to that. But he's telling us we're going to sin and we're going to get thrown out. Ve'ifitz Hashem etchem ba'amim. And God will then disperse you amongst the nations. Well, I hope to swing back to this later when we in a different discussion in Sefer Devarim, later on. But that God is then saying somehow as part of the process then is we have to be dispersed among the nations. That's part of what happens next. That's why he's telling us what he's going to do. When we sin to the point where we need to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, part of what needs to happen next then is that we have to be dispersed amongst the nations. V'nishartam item yispar b'goyim, asher Hashem yinaheg etchem shama. And you will be very few amongst the nations, which God, hear the word there, yinaheg, which God will intentionally guide you there and disperse you amongst those nations. You're going to serve idols there. And then says God, there you will seek God in that place of exile and you will find him. You will find God there. If you seek God out with all of your heart and all of your soul there in exile, that's where you will find him. And as though it weren't clear that God was foretelling what was going to happen in the future, all of these things will happen, will find you in the end of days. And then, and you will return to God, and you will heed his voice. Why? Because God is a merciful God. This paragraph doesn't sound merciful. It sounds like he's going to destroy what we have in Eretz Yisrael, throw us out into exile, and make us go through a painful exile process. Why is this merciful? God is merciful. Lo yarpecha, velo yashchitecha. He won't let you go. Velo yishkach et brit avotecha shenishba lahem. And so there's an emphasis here again on the historical process. What's going to happen to the Jewish people? And we see the merging of these two things with the story that's repeated in this parsha. What story do we get a Mishnah Torah perspective on in Parshat Vetchanan? What story does Moshe Rabbeinu retell? Look in your texts. Har Sinai. We go over the story of what happened when God revealed himself to the Jewish people. Producing incredible psukim, like the one in the paragraph we're just reading, Perek Dalet, Pasuklam, and Hey, Ataho Reita Ladat, Ki Hashem Elokim, Einod Milvado, you were shown in order to know that God is God. And there's no one other but God. Beautiful, incredible, powerful psukim. And he retells the story of Matan Torah. But assuming that my premise is correct, why would he dafka retell the story of Matan Torah? Aside from that, the importance of that in the historical narrative, what's contained in the retelling of Matan Torah? Louder. The Aseret HaDibrot. And what is the focus of the Aseret HaDibrot? Mitzvot. Again, this overlapping of historical narrative and mitzvot, and historical narrative and mitzvot. And the two constantly blending in one to another. So to understand what's happening here, I want to take us on a journey to explore again what is one of the most fundamental concepts, principles in Hanagat Hashem. This perspective on Hanagat Hashem, to the ability that I understand it, comes from the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, one of the greatest Mikubalim who ever lived. He wrote Derech Hashem. He wrote Mesilat Yesharim. He also wrote a sefer called Da'at Tevunot, which primarily focuses on Hanagat Hashem. And it's a sefer that I highly recommend learning once and twice and three times and keep going over. The Ramchal, one of the greatest minds of Jewish history. One of the greatest personalities, one of the greatest hearts of Jewish history also, but one of the greatest minds of Jewish history. And the Ramchal presents two floors, two layers to how God guides the world. The first one he presents is called Hanhagat Hamishpat. Hanhagat Hamishpat is how I suspect most of us relate to the way that God guides the world. What does Mishpat mean? Judgment. How does God guide the world? Well, he looks at what I'm doing. And if I do good, he responds positively, he responds with reward, he gives sachar. And if I do bad, lo aleinu, he responds with onesh, with punishment. But the entirety of what happens in the world is determined by my actions, by the actions of humanity. the more good we do, the more we attain a reality of goodness and fulfill our goal. And the more bad we do, the more we move away from that, and we bring negativity into the world, and we bring punishment upon ourselves. And that's Hanagat HaMishpat. And there are many religions that leave it at that, especially to the East. There are religions in the East that leave it at that. That the goal is that history is here for us to continuously move on and on and on and on to try for humanity to try to achieve spiritual fulfillment, whenever that happens. To keep going and going and going until they get there. But there's a second floor here, says the Ramchal. The second floor is called Anhagat Ayichud. What does Yichud mean? Louder. Unifying. Back to a oneness. Hanagata Yichud. That all of history claims Hanagata Yichud. That all of history is marching towards a destination. That all of history is marching towards Tikkun. Is marching toward a perfect world where the oneness of God is revealed. That's the one thing that underlies history, and it's the singular goal of history, is to reveal the oneness of God. And so every moment we get one step closer toward Tikkun. And that's the goal. God wants the world to get to its ultimate perfection so we can give the goodness that will come in the end of days. And that's it. That's the goal. That's what's happening. Anybody sense a tension here between Hanagat HaMishpat and Hanagat HaYichud? It's the same two words that we used before. Own it. Bechira Chofshit is Dana. What do we do with Bechira Chofshit? Hanagat HaYichud says that the world, no matter what, is moving toward perfection, is moving toward tikkun, is moving toward an ultimate goal, a destination. It's one of the things that Judaism brought to the world. It's the concept that we're always moving toward a goal. That we always have a destination. Yisrael, which is Yashar Kel, the straight ones of God, we're going in a direction, we're headed toward a destination. There's an ultimate destination which the world is headed to. If we presume on Hanagat HaYichud, it's saying that no matter what, regardless of free will, the world is always marching toward its destination. Hanagat HaMishpat says, well, no. God is guiding the world based on what I do, and if I do good, there's more good, and if I do bad, there's more bad, and that's the way that it works, it's by my actions. And so how do we reconcile the tension between these two floors of Hanagat HaShem? The fact that God definitively responds to our free will actions, and yet there seems to be an overarching goal of history and movement of history towards Tikkun no matter what. Let's give an example from the outside world, from secular knowledge. Same problem in... before you present that as an example of it. The way that that's broken is by focusing on two words that we've used actually many times in the past. And that is that there's a distinction between the klal and the prat. There is a presumption that the klal is moving in a particular destination, towards a particular destination, in a particular direction. History is moving a certain way. History is flowing a certain way. The nature of my own personal choices, of the individual's choices within the context of that historical narrative, that's up to the individual. But that history can have a flow and a goal and a destination, regardless of the fact that there are going to be individual choices that need to be accounted for within that predetermined destination. So those were a lot of big words. Let's give it some context. So here's the example. You have a group you have an insurance company, car insurance company. And at the beginning of the year, they all need to get together and they need to make projections for the coming year in order to make a budget. You need to make projections for the coming year. And they have to figure out, statistically speaking, how many people are going to get into car accidents and how many people are going to be injured. and how many people are going to die in car accidents in the coming year. And when these statisticians come up with these numbers, they're generally correct. But how is that possible? How can they possibly know in advance what's going to happen over the course of the year? I could decide not to drive. I could give up my car. I could get my car stolen. I could make Aliyah, not even be in the country. So how do they know how many people are going to get into car accidents? How could they, generally speaking, be right? It's because we see that even in the way that mathematics works. That we can, when we can look at the overall big picture, we can look at the klal and know where the klal is headed, despite the fact that we don't know necessarily what the individual actions of the pratim, of the details within that system, are going to do. Let's give a Torah example. One of the most powerful stories in Chumash. Think of the story of Yosef and the brothers. And look at it with me with fresh eyes. You've never heard the story before. Come at it like a little child and see the story fresh. Yosef, the most beloved of father's sons, always usually ends up going down a negative road, only makes things worse for himself. He has a couple of dreams and he shares them with his brothers. Hey guys, I had this dream and you guys are all going to bow down to me. It's going to be amazing. Don't try this at home. It's going to end poorly. And it did for Yosef also. And one has to understand what the brothers were thinking and how they could have done what they did. But the brothers rebel against the most beloved brother. Rebel against Yosef and his dreams. We're going to bow down to you? Who do you think you are? According to some Mefarshim, just to give it a little bit of context, they might have even been afraid that just like Avraham had Yishmael and Yitzchak, and Yishmael needed to get begotten rid of, and then Yitzchak had Esav and Yaakov, and Esav needed to be... Here was the bad apple in the bunch. We need to get rid of Yosef. There's something wrong here. That's one perspective in these stories. And so they go. They think about killing him. But instead, what do? They sell him down to Egypt. See what happens now, Yosef. Later, Yosef. Yosef then goes down to Egypt. He ends up in Potiphar's house. Things go bad. He goes to prison. And then, of course, from prison, he gets dragged to the king, to Paro. Interprets Paro's dreams, becomes viceroy of Egypt. Saves Egypt from famine. And then, wouldn't you know it, the brothers make a journey down to Egypt because there's a famine and they need food. And they come down. And what do? They bow down to Yosef. Not knowing it's Yosef, but they come and they bow down to Yosef and they ask him for food. And he gives them some food. Something goes wrong. He sends them back. Says, don't come back without Binyamin. They come back with Binyamin. Then he's going to keep Binyamin. Finally, at the end of the story, the brothers are there, beginning of Parshat Vayigash, and they're about to lose Binyamin, and if they lose Binyamin, they're going to lose their father. And Yehuda throws himself in front of Yosef and says, whatever you do, don't do this, take me instead. Binyamin's got to go back. Can you imagine the moment, and Mefarshim and Midrashim talk about this, the moment where the viceroy of Egypt, who had been torturing them, turns around and says, Ani Yosef. And their minds are blown. And they don't even know what to do with themselves. And they begin to reconcile and come together and they bring Yaakov down and then they make a place to stay in Egypt. And we think that everything is okay. But it's not. Because watch what happens at the end of the story. Open up with me to the end of Sefer Bereishit. It's one of the saddest and most tragic paragraphs in Chumash. They've been with Yosef for decades. Almost decades. They've been with him for years. And Yosef seems to think that everything is fine. And the second that Yaakov dies, the brothers freak out. Perek Nun Pasuk Tet Vav. When they saw that their father died, they said to each other, Lu yishtamenu Yosef eishev yashiv lanu et kol hara'a asher gamalnu oto. What are they worried is going to happen now? We had protexia. Our father was alive. Yosef would never kill us when our father was alive, but now that our father died, now he's going to kill us for what we did. Can you imagine that was sitting under the surface for 17 years? This fear that the day was going to come where their brother was going to execute them? And so they seem to make up this story. They go and they say that Yaakov said, don't hurt us and we'll come. And then they run in front of him. Pasuk Yudchet. Vayelchu gam echav vayiplu lefanav. The brothers came and they threw themselves in front of Yosef. Vayamru hinenu lechal avadim. We'll be your slaves. Anything. Just don't kill us. And Yosef breaks down. Vayomer alehem Yosef. Yosef says to them, hear Yosef's words. Al tira'u. Don't fear. Hatachat Elohim anochi? Am I in place of God? He says, you don't understand how Anagat Hashem works. Did the brothers sell him into slavery? Yes or no? 100%. Was that good or bad? That was bad. That was not okay. Whose issue is that? Who has to deal with the fact that the brothers sinned? No. Hashem. Hatachat Elohim Anochi. That's Hanagata Mishpat. That's between you and God. You sinned. God's going to have to take care of that. And I know. V'atem chashavtem alai ra'ah. You thought to do evil. And you need to deal with that. And that's between you and God. And God is going to have to respond to you. How he's going to respond to you. But I know I'm taking the Hanagat HaYichud perspective. Elohim Chashava L'Tova. I know that God organized all of this for the good. L'man aso kayom hazeh l'chayut amrav. To bring us to this day so I can give you food and support the entire nation of Israel and give them life. Amazing perspective shift. The brothers did something wrong and God is going to respond to Hanagat Mishpat. Yosef says, I'm looking at Hanagat HaYichud. That's the perspective I'm taking. The whole point was to get me here so I could be second in command and bring you down and give you food and give you life. We see this just as powerfully earlier on in the story. Come back to the beginning of Vayigash again. Yosef, who they don't know is Yosef yet, is about to take Binyamin. And again, the brothers know if Binyamin doesn't come home, their father's life is over. He said, you can go to Egypt on one condition. There was only one condition to going back to Egypt that Yaakov said. What was the one condition? Bring Binyamin back. And the viceroy of Egypt is about to take Binyamin hostage. So who throws himself in front of Yosef and begs for Binyamin's life? Yehuda. Now, why is that odd? Why is it odd that Yehuda throws himself in front of Yosef? Go back to Parsha. He was the one who said, hey, I've got a great idea, guys. Let's sell Yosef to slavery. Who cares about dad? We'll throw the coat in some blood, say he died, life will go on. Yehuda, what happened to you? Yehuda, who was so callously able to sell one brother, one son of Rachel, is now willing to give over his life for a different son of Rachel, who didn't care about his father's reaction by Yosef, now cares about his father's reaction by Binyamin? Yehuda, what happened? And the answer is something really critical happened. What happened to Yehuda between when he sold Yosef and he went down to Egypt? What story is oddly stuck in the middle of this whole story of Yosef and Mitzrayim and the whole thing? What story is inside of there? Yehuda and Tamar. And in the story of Yehuda and Tamar, what happens to Yehuda? Yehuda loses two sons. Yehuda experiences what it means to lose a child. Yehuda becomes an entirely different person. And through the process of losing his own children, he creates a sensitivity that he was sorely lacking beforehand. Now you want to ask a question. Why did Yehuda's sons Er and Onan, why did they die? Why did they die? because they sinned. Hanagata Mishpat. Aaron Onan did a terrible sin that the Mefarshim bring out from the Pesukim. Aaron Onan did a terrible sin. By Hanagat Yishpat, they were supposed to die. Hanagat Yichud. Why did his sons die? Because Yehuda had something that he needed to learn. And that seems hard to take in. You're telling me that people can die to teach other people messages? And the answer is, of course. Because here's the alternative. The alternative is to say that if somebody is deserving of death, that God is willing to let them die and not care about what that's going to do to that person's parents. God is not able to take all of those factors into consideration? Of course he can. And it would be horrible to think that God would allow somebody to die and not think about the impact of the people who are close to that person. God takes all of the factors into account. A direct response to the person's actions, but also what's going to happen and in what way is that going to move the historical narrative forward for everybody else who's there. I asked the same question twice. Why did they die? It's an opportunity to think about how we look at things in general. When we ask why, we could be asking two questions. We could be asking, what's the reason that this happened? What's the reason why Aaron Onan died? What's the reason? What's the reason why they died? What caused them to die? They sinned. What's the reason why Yosef ended up in Mitzrayim? He was sold. And so often in life, when things go wrong, we tend to obsess over the reasons. What did I do wrong? How did this happen? And we beat ourselves up over it. And we only look at the Hanagata Mishpat level. The other question we always need to ask ourselves when something happens is not just what is the reason. What was the purpose of this happening? Where is this meant to take me? What's the Hanagata Yichud level? The Hanagata Mishpat level is also important. We have to do tshuva. We have to make sure that we do things right to fix things. But what's the purpose? Where was this meant to take me? Give you one more example. I can't resist. Another example from David HaMelech. See if we can find it very quickly. I didn't give this over in the winter midrashan. I was like upset that I didn't share this piece of this beautiful, beautiful piece of Torah. It takes the perspective of David HaMelech. Second. Here we go. David HaMelech in Shmuel Bet. He has been ousted by his son. Avshalom is running after him, trying to kill his own father after taking his kingdom. And David runs away. And David finally comes to take a break. And to stop and take a breather. And when he stops there, here we go. This is Perek Tet, meaning if you can look it up on your own afterward, but it's in Shmuel Bet Perek Tet Zayin. Uva Melech David ad Bachurim. He came to a place called Bachurim. V'hinei misham ish yotzei mimishpachat Beit Shaul, u'shmo Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera comes out. Shimi ben Gera, who Chazal tells us is part of the Sanhedrin, comes out. Of course, to obviously welcome David with open arms as he runs away trying to be killed by his own son. No, not. Yotzei Yatzo u'mikalel. He comes out cursing David HaMelech. Vayisakel ba'avanim, and he throws stones at him. Vayisakel ba'avanim at David ve'et kol avadav ha'melech David ve'chol ha'am ve'chol ha'gibri mimeno u'smalo. He comes and throws stones at him. And then he goes and he gives a terrible curse to David HaMelech, to the point where Avishai ben Tsruya, the commander of David's army, comes out and says, Lama yikalel ha'kelev ha'metazeh? How can you let this dead dog come out and curse you? Et Adoni HaMelech, e'ebra na v'asira et rosho. Let me go and take off his head. Hear David's response. The perspective of David HaMelech. Vayomer HaMelech, David says, Mali v'lachem b'nei Tsruya? What does it matter to me or you, son of Tsruya? Ki kalel Ki Hashem amar lo kalel et David. Umi omar madu asita kein. How did Shimi ben Gera get here? Who let Shimi ben Gera get here to curse me right now? Who's the only being who could have let Shimi ben Gera get here? One answer. Hashem. He could have made a wagon crash on the road. If cars, then right, it was a car crash. He could have made a wagon crash on the road. He could have had the earth open up and had an earthquake. He could have had him be sick that day. Could have had him break his leg. He let him get here. God let him get here. And if there's a curse that's to be given right now, it's because I need to hear it and I need to internalize it. And whether he's right or wrong is between him and God. I need to take in the message. I need to hear what's being said to me. Hanagata Yichud. But David HaMelech also understands Hanagata Mishpat. And what's so beautiful is, if you want to look at it, it's beautiful. At the beginning of Melechem Aleph, when David dies on his deathbed, the last thing that he tells his son Shmuel, his son Shlomo, he tells Shlomo, and make sure to kill Shimi ben Gera for having cursed me when I was running away from Avshalom. Well, so which is it? The answer is, it's both. Hanagata Mishpat proved that he ended up cursing a king, and for doing that, he needed to die. But it doesn't change the fact that David HaMelech needs to see what's the purpose of this as well. Where is it taking me? Okay. Where is this taking me? These are the two parts of history, the two ways that God is guiding history that we need to bring together in ourselves, and can be summed up very beautifully in a line from the Gemara. The Chitana Mishmei Rabbi Akiva, this is from Brachot Daf Samech Amud Bet. Le'olam Yehe Adam Ragil Lomar, a person should make themselves constantly in a place to say, Kol De'avid Rachamana Letav Avid. Everything that God does, He does for the good. Whenever anything happens to us, to recognize that there might be a tshuva that we need to do, and it might not seem good, but that it's all taking us toward tikkun. It's all taking us to a good place. Kol de'avid rachamana l'ta'avid. And when I looked this up in Bar Ilan, I saw that there was a link, and I clicked on it. And I was so excited to find that the link went to Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch brings it down halacha lema'aseh, that a person needs to halacha lema'aseh train themselves to see the world this way. That whatever happens to me is happening to me for the good. That's the perspective that a Jew is required to take on, to work to achieve, both from Chazal and halacha lema'aseh. Something that that Chazal is telling us to take on, but that the Shulchan Aruch is bringing down halacha lemaaseh. This is something we need to achieve. This concept of called the avid rachamana letav avid, that everything that God does, He does for the good. Let's bring it back into the parasha. We're told, go back to the same paragraph we read before, Perak Dalet Pasuk Chafei. Ki tolid banim uvenei banim venoshantem ba'aretz. When your children have children, you become tired in the land. Vishchatem vasitem pesel tmunat kol, and you go and you serve idols. Vasitem arabinei Hashem lachi. So what's going to happen? God is going to exile you, and very intentionally. Pasuk Chavzayin, Ve'ifitz Hashem etchem ba'amim, V'nishartem etzei mispar guim asher yenaheget Hashem etchem shama. God is going to guide you intentionally. We don't know why yet. We'll talk about that another time. God is going to guide us into exile and spread us out amongst the nations. And I'm telling you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the world is always marching toward tikkun. It's always marching toward tikkun. And the beauty of this is, this piece that we're reading right now, when do we read this piece? When do we read this part of Chumash? Not just in Parshat Vetchanan. Not right after Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av morning. And we read this piece thinking, well, of course we're reading this. It's all about Korban, that we're being promised that we're going to sin and we're going to get thrown out. And it's just to beat us down more on Tisha B'Av. It's not. God is promising you, yes, if you sin, you will be exiled. And that's what happened on Tisha B'Av. But I'm telling you, I will then take you into exile. But I'm going to take you into exile for a reason. Pasuk Kaftet. Because, and we read this on Tisha B'Av morning, because we never ever sit in mourning like that. We always have to look at the other side, the way out. The way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way back to Simcha, the way back to Tov. Uvikashtem Misham, says God. From there, God promises us, from there you will seek out Hashem Elokecha Matzat, and you will find Him. Ki tidrashenu b'chol levavacha v'chol nafshecha. If you search Him out with all of your heart and all of your soul, I'm going to bring you there so you can find God again, because from there, that's where you're going to find God. That's where the hope lies. I'm promising you, Batsar lecha u'mitzaucha kol adrim ha'ila v'acharitimim. I'm telling you, all of these things will find you in the end of days. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo. And you will return to God, and you will hear His voice. Kikel rachum Hashem Elokecha, because God is merciful, because the way, yes, He's sending us into exile, but He's sending us into exile to do tshuva and to come back to Him and to fulfill the goal of history. It's not out of anger with us, it's not out of spite of us. God isn't an angry God or a hateful God or a God of hate. He's doing it, kikel rachum Hashem Elokecha, lo yarpecha v'lo yashkitecha, v'lo yishkach et brit avotecha shenishpa lahem. Let's come back to one of our questions. In this parasha, which is emphasizing this historical process, the historical narrative, the fact that we can be told, even in this paragraph, what's going to happen, Hanagata Yichud. I'm telling you, says God, that I know what's going to happen historically, and I can do that because I can't tell you if you're going to sin, or you're going to sin, or you're going to sin in Eretz Israel, if you're going to be the cause of the Korban, or you're going to be the cause of the Korban, I don't know. You have Bechirah Choshev, we have free will. But I'm telling you, says God, this is how it's going to go. In this parsha that's presenting Hanagat HaYichud, and it's presenting the overall narrative, why is that overlapping with this discussion of mitzvot? Why is that what's being constantly woven in and out of this parsha? Help me out. It's the Klal and the Prat, and therefore, take it one step further, finish the thought, or somebody else help you finish the thought. Say it stronger. Yes. You do need both, but what is God doing for us? Well, I got the Yichud happening either way. So I'll try to refine a little bit. Tell me if this resonates. Taking what you all said and just taking it to one step further. Kadosh Baruch Hu's telling us there is a flow of history. There is a narrative to history. God is, and this is what one of the things we had to reestablish, and that was what we saw even in Parshat Devarim that was falling apart. God is in control of history. God is the guiding hand who makes everything happen, and everything is marching to the good. But God says, I am going to give you an incredible gift. I'm going to give you something that nobody else has. I'm going to give you the mitzvot. And every time it says that I'm going to give you the mitzvot in this parsha, I keep saying, Leman yitavlach, Leman yitavlach, Leman yitavlach. Why will it be good for us if we have the mitzvot? Because God's saying, I'm taking history to its destination one way or the other. We're getting to tikkun one way or the other. We're getting to the ultimate goal one way or the other. And you have a choice, He says to the Jewish people. If you do these mitzvot, this is how you can link into the historical process in a way that you help it along. I'm giving you the opportunity to become my partners in bringing about tikkun and to lead a life of goodness. Because when you do mitzvot, you get good and you create good and you make a reality of tov and you assist Hanagat HaYichud. The end is going to come one way or the other. But we get to choose, because we're given the mitzvot, whether we partner with God in that process and help make it happen or not. I think that's why it's woven in. That's the Hanagat HaMishpat level. Is we're given the opportunity to be partners with God in fulfilling the goal of history. That's the gift He gives us. Where does He give us that gift? At Matan Torah and Har Sinai. And that's why we review it with a different perspective in this parsha. That's the gift that we get at Matan Torah. That's the gift that we get at Har Sinai. Is to see that and to understand that. I think it's beautifully reflected in a Mishnah Pirkei Avot, which says, Hu haya omer, Perek Bet Mishnah Dalet, Asei Ritzono Kirtzoncha, Kidei Sheyaseh Ritzoncha Kirtzono. Make your will like His, so His will be your will like God, so God's will be like yours. What does that mean? It's saying, link into God's will. Link into what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Link into the way that things are going, because then if you want that, if you've sensitized yourself to what history is meant to accomplish, you will want that, and then your will and God's will line up and you will both be going in the same direction. It's also what's promised to us by an incredible Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara struggles, in my understanding, is struggling with this very issue. Gemara says, this is Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Bet. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Yisrael osin tshuva nigalin v'im lav ein nigalin. If Israel does tshuva from exile, they will be redeemed. And if they don't do tshuva, then they won't be redeemed. That seems like it makes sense. Amar Le Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua argues, no. Im ein osin tshuva, if they don't do tshuva, ein nigalin, there never is going to be geula? How could that be? Ella, rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid lahen melech shegzerotav kashot kehaman. God will put upon them a king whose decrees will be as harsh as the decrees of Haman. B'Yisrael osin tshuva machzirin lemutav. Then they'll do tshuva. What are they saying in this Gemara? What's the tension in this Gemara? This concept. The first opinion is all Hanagata Mishpat, but the answer is no, it's not just Hanagata Mishpat. You can choose. We can choose to bring Geula right now by doing what we're supposed to do with the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Or God will force us into the historical process. We don't want that. To give us somebody like Haman to give decrees against us who will then show us how bad things can get, and then that will force the tshuva out of us. What's definitely going to happen though? What? Geula. And what's also definitely going to happen? Tshuva. That we're going to tshuva and we're going to experience geula. But the choice is, how do we want that to come about? Are we going to link into it and be a positive influence and a positive part of the historical process or not?
Let's wrap up.
And in my understanding, that's what's happening all throughout this parsha. See, again, now you watch it, we've in and out, and I may have influenced your perspective, so you may see another way that I see it, but I would love to, again, if you push back, like, this is how I understand Parshat Bet Hanan. Take a look at Perek Dalet Pasuk Zayin. Watch these two Pasukim back to back. Kimi goy gadol, what nation is like Israel? Asher lo Elohim krovim elav, kashem Elokeinu bechol koreinu elav. Where God is so close to them like He's close to us. God loves us and is close to us. And therefore, what's the next pasuk? Umi goy gadol asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim kekol ha-torah asher azot, asher anochi notein lifnechem hayom. Since God is so close to us, what does He give us? Mitzvot. And allows us to partner with Him in that historical process, allows us to actively be close to Him. The two coming hand in hand. Go forward. Perek Dalid. Again, toward the end of the paragraph that we read on Tisha B'Av. See this part of what we read on Tisha B'Av. Pasuk Lamed Hei. This pasuk is one of the most core pasukim in all of Torah. You've been shown in order to know that Hashem is Elohim. Ein od milvado. There is nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Min hashamayim ishmiachat kolo liyasrecha ve'el haaretz harecha et isho agdola udvarav shmatam bitocha esh v'tachat ki yahev et avotecha, because God loved your forefathers v'yivchar bezaro acharav, and He chose you, the children that came after them And he took you out of Mitzrayim. Why lahorish goyim gedolim va'atzmi meka mipanecha, to throw away nations who are much stronger than you from in front of you. La'aviyacha la'teit lecha at artzam nachalaka yom hazeh, to give you their land as this day. V'yadata hayom, one of the most bottom line psukim in all of Torah, when it's the end of davening every single day, three times a day. V'yadata hayom, know now. Know today. V'hashevota el avavecha, bring it into your heart, make it a part of who you are. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem is Elokim, He is the one who guides everything in this world. Hashem yudke vavke, that's the name of Yichud, is Elokim, is inside the nitty-gritty of Mishpat in this world. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, b'shamayim yima'al v'yalaret aris mitachat ein od. And since He is guiding all of history and He loves us, it's all for the good. So then, of course, what's going to be the next pasuk? V'shamarta et chukav v'et mitpotav asher anochi metzavcha ayom asher yitav lach. Therefore, keep the mitzvot, which will therefore be good for you, and align yourself with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In order that you could be able to stay in the land of goodness of Eretz Yisrael. In case those pasukim weren't familiar enough, skip forward to Perek Vav Pasuk Dalad. See if any of you recognize this pasuk. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. After the repetition of Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes for us, hear and understand. One has kavan in the word Shema, it's not just to hear, that it has to mean understand, internalize. Shema Yisrael, hear and understand. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What does that mean? We hinted to it a second ago. Hashem Yudkei Vavkei is Elokim Hashem is Echad. What does it mean Hashem is Elokim Hashem is Echad? We have to understand it. In order to be Yotzei Kriyat Shema, one has to understand what the actual translation of the words means. Rashi on the spot explains, and this is one explanation of a pasuk that obviously has many, many layers to it. Says Rashi, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Ata, God who is our God in this world, actively guiding us, who we see, who we relate to, Elokeinu, He is our God, who we are connected to in this world, who we see guiding everything in the world. Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Ata V'lo Elohei Amot, and is not the God of the other nations. Hu Atid Liyot Echad. That same God will be one, will be clearly the only thing in existence in the future, in that world of Yichud. Internalize that Hashem, that Yud Kei Vav Kei, this supernal force, the only force, is actively and intimately involved in our lives, and that He's guiding this world, and that He will be revealed at the end of days as being the one and only God to everyone. You've been shown in order to know that Yud Kei Vav Kei, that He is the only force in this world. Again and again in this parsha. And therefore, since that is God and that's what He's doing, the next pasuk, this is Aleph Beis, this is Kriyat Shema. And therefore, love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your means. Because He loves you and He created you and He called the Avid Rachamana Latav Avid. Everything is for the good. So once you realize that Hashem is Elokim, Hashem is Echad, then therefore love Him and connect to Him. But how do we connect to Him? What's the best thing that we can do and to connect to Him? So first is to achieve a level of Avat Hashem. On that level, we'll talk about this more next year. Vayad v'rima ila sh'arnochim etzavcha yom alavecha v'shinan t'lavanecha v'dibar t'abam. Oh, there it is. V'ayu ha'divarim ha'ila, and therefore these words, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom alavecha, therefore, make sure to focus on the mitzvot, on the tzivuim. And put them everywhere to constantly remind you to keep being a part of that process, to relate to Hashem properly, to see God as a God of love who guides the world with love. And therefore, link into the mitzvot, so that way you can be a part of that process. Last scheme that we're going to quote before we hit that, we come back to the first paragraph, and then we'll close. That's how the Parsha ends. And to me, this brought it home for me, because again, the end of the Parsha has to wrap up everything that the Parsha set out to accomplish. Look at how the Parsha closes. Pasuk we quoted last time. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Vav. Ki am kadosh atah la'Hashem Elokecha, because you are a holy nation to God. Lecha bachar Hashem Elokecha liyotu la'am skola. God chose you because He loves. God chose you in order to be His treasured nation. Mikol amim of all nations al pnei adama. Lo mirubchem mikol amim chashak Hashem bachem. God didn't choose you because you were so numerous and so great. V'yifchar bachem ki atem ha'ma'at mikol amim. You're a very small number as opposed to the other nations. Hear the words. We read this pasuk last year. Ki me'ahavat Hashem etchem, because God loves you. U'mishamro et hashvua asher nishba la'avotechem, and because He wanted to keep the promise that He promised your ancestors. Hotzi Hashem etchem biyad chazaka, He took you out with a strong hand. V'yafdecha mi'beit avadim, and He took you out of the house of slavery. Miyad paro melech mitzrayim. Right, again, we talked about this before. This is the answer to ki b'sinat Hashem otanu. God chose us out of love. V'yadata ki Hashem Elokecha hu ha'elokim. Know that Yud Kei Vav Kei God, that supernal God that is leading history to its good, He is Elokim. He's intimately guiding how the world works and connected to us. Hakel ha'ne'eman shomer ha'brit v'chesed. God who is trustworthy, who keeps the covenant and keeps chesed le'ohavav v'l'shurim yitzav le'ovdor to those who are close to Him for generations. And on the flip side, umishalim lesonav el panav la'avido, lo ya'achir leson o el panav lishalim lo. And those who He hates, He will drive away. And therefore, what's the closing pasuk to bring these two concepts together? Therefore, final pasuk, v'shamarta et ha'mitzvah ve'et ha'chukim ve'et ha'mishpatim asher anochi mitzavcheh hayom la'asotam. That's the concluding pasuk. That's what this parsha is setting out to accomplish. Explaining to us that God is guiding the world with love to a destination of goodness and of love, and that out of love of us and for us, He gave us the mitzvot so we could link into that letov lach, for good for us. Do we have the koach to answer the question of what about the opening paragraph? That was not an overwhelming yes. Do we? No? Okay. How does that fit into the opening paragraph? We just watched the whole... Let's assume yes. I hope so. I hope this is correct. Let's assume that we just brought the whole Parsha together. Why does the Parsha open up with this plea of Moshe Rabbeinu to go into Eretz Yisrael and God saying no? Here is an alternative reading of the opening paragraph that I am convinced is the emistic reading. I've been reading it like this for a long time, and then I found in a Sefer Chassidut that it reads it the same way. I'm sure that there are, I'm strongly confident that other Mefarshim read it this way also, but I was so excited when I saw somebody else much, much greater than me who read the Psukim the same way. Here's how I would read the Psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is about to introduce a parsha about Hanagat Hashem, says to the Jewish people, "Va'et Chanan el Hashem ba'eti limor." I turn to God in tefillah, and I dove into Him, and I said, "Hadoshem Elokim, God, who is Elokim, who is supernal, who is beyond, who can do anything." You can't. No human being can see how great God is. God is infinite. But you at least began to show me a little bit to your servant of how great you are, your gedula, which is connected to chesed, as we've done through when we talked about the sefirot in previous shirim. Gedula is connected to chesed. You showed up that you can do anything. You can do any chesed that you want. You can fix anything in this world of your own volition. You don't need anybody else. You can do whatever you want. V'et yadcha chazaka, and the strength of your hand. Asher mikel bashamayim. Kael is also the name that's associated with chesed. You're a God of chesed. You're a God who can do whatever He wants. And all for the good. Asher mikel bashamayim v'aretz asher yaseh k'maasecha v'higvorotecha. What is He asking him? Ebra na. Let me cross into the land. Who was here last semester when we did Devarim? Bamidbar. Remember we saw in the Malbim? The Malbim quoted the Gemara, where God said, I can't do both. I can either do Ebrana or Tzlachna. I can either give forgiveness to this generation and let the generation of the desert come into Eretz Yisrael at some point, or you can go into Eretz Yisrael, but you can't have both. You can't have both because there's a historical process. And I'll let you choose how that historical process is going to go, how we get to Geula, what Geula looks like. But it's either Ebrana or Tzlachna. We talked about this with Moshe Rabbeinu with the incident by the rock in Parshat Chukat. But he says, Ebrana, why is he asking this? Moshe Rabbeinu knows this. What is he asking God to do? Change the historical process. You could do anything. And all I'm asking God is, please let me in. And then as we saw from the Malbim then also in Parshat Chukat, Vayitaber Hashem bi lema'anchem, God got angry at me because of you, because you sinned. Moshe Rabbeinu now has to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael, and his anger flared up because he won't let me in because of what you did. Because the only way to redeem you is if I don't go into Eretz Yisrael. V'lo Shemai Elai, didn't answer me, but hear how you read this pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Elai, and God said to me, Rav Lach, it's too much. There is a Hanagat Yichud, there's a historical process. And there are things that I can change, but there are things that, for the history to go the way it needs to go, there are things that I cannot change. Yes, I'm God and I could do anything. But for the goal of history to be reached as I've set it out, this is the way it needs to go. Rav Lach, it's too much. You can have one, you can have the other. I'll give you whatever you want. You can pick whichever one you want. But I can't give you both. And then he begs Moshe Rabbeinu. Read it like this. Al tosef taber elai od badavar hazeh. Please, Moshe, don't ask me again. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have been my faithful servant from day one. You have led the Jewish people through the desert. You who suffered so much along the way. It kills me, so to speak, says God, to tell you no. Please don't ask me again because I can't let you in. I can't both let this generation live and let you in. I can't both redeem the generation that sinned at the sin of the spies and let you in. I can't do both. So I'm begging you, Moshe, don't make me tell you no again. It's too hard for me, so to speak, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Don't put me through that. And then he says, and to me this is where the nechama is, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu only wants what's good for us. Alei Rosh HaPisgah, go up to the top of the mountain, God tells Moshe. V'sainecha yama tzafona v'teimana u'mizracha, go and turn your eyes north, south, east, and west. And see with your own eyes. See the land. Because you're not going to be able to cross this land. Here's a problem with this pasuk that I heard a beautiful explanation to once, which brings all this together again. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing where? Eivar Yarden, which is in or outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yes, that's what he's asking. He's going to ask him to go in. It's outside. He goes up. And which direction is Eretz Yisrael from where he's standing? Where? West. And God says, open your eyes and look. North, south, east, and west? That doesn't make any sense. Why would he have to look in all four directions if he's standing outside of Eretz Yisrael? And a beautiful explanation of this pasuk was is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't physically let you go in. But on some sort of spiritual level, I'm going to take you over every inch of this land. I'll give you whatever I can because I want to give you whatever I can because I care about you so much, because I love you so much as a Kadosh Baruch. And I'll give you, so to speak, a virtual tour of the entirety of Eretz Yisrael to the point where you're going to experience it like you're standing there and you're going to look in all four directions. I'll do whatever I can for you. I can't break the historical process, but in any way that I can give you something, I want to give it to you because all I want to do is what's good for you. Called De'avid Rachamana Latav Avid. God wants to both let Moshe Rabbeinu save the generation of the desert that died out with the spies. God also wants to give Moshe Rabbeinu everything he can. And this conversation is the kickoff of Parshat Vetchanan, because it's the proper response to dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To recognizing that we so often ask God for things and God does say no. God responds with a no. But when God says no, it's painful for him to say no. And it's for our own good. And it's for some part of the historical process that's ultimately going to be for our goodness. And, you know, and because he sees that we're in so much pain, he will do anything he can to alleviate that pain. And still make the historical narrative come to its ultimate conclusion. And Moshe Rabbeinu never asks again for the rest of Sefer Devarim until the end of his life to go back into Eretz Yisrael. Because he understands that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this is not good, that this is not the way things should be, then that's the best thing that could possibly happen. This conversation shows us, it sets the tone, it gives us an example, it gives us a paradigm of how to relate to Hanagat Hashem. how to relate to the difficulties of that relationship and to recognize that everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does, he does out of care and out of love for the Jewish people as a whole and for every individual. And constantly is balancing the two. Bezrat Hashem, we should have the clarity of vision to be able to recognize the larger process, to see Anagat Hashem, the called the Avid Rachamana Latav Avid, to be able to see Anagat Yehud and recognize that we're always moving toward ultimate tikkun, while at the same time seeing the tremendous gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in giving us the mitzvot, that gives us the opportunity to link into that historical process, be partners with God in making that process happen and bringing it to its ultimate conclusion, so that we and God together create that reality of tikkun, bring the world to a state of geula. Bezrat Hashem, b'hira b'yaminu. Shkoch, everybody.